those groups that were here, many of them have been emailing me, texting me, and Facebooking me, talking about their experience here and how it changed their lives and what God has been doing in their lives. God put these young people in situations where we started off the week serving at the Dream Center, doing in a place that had folks who needed free medical, dental, chiropractic, podiatry, there was a mobile pregnancy center there. There were folks who needed free veterinarian services for their pets to get vaccinations for their animals. And their week started with that. On that same day, for those of you who weren't here last week and didn't hear this part of the testimony, one of the young girls that they were ministering to, who was waiting for the free services, she was a 22-year-old girl who had been sex trafficked from Florida to New Orleans since the age of 12. Long story short, as they were ministering to her, she accepted Christ right then and there by these young people. Their week went on to the point where they started serving folks under the bridge, handing out free supplies of need, socks, bottles of water, and just offering prayer. Multiple people got prayed for and got saved under the bridges and the river walk. Some of the young people who are their own ages, some of the street people in the French Quarter, y'all know who I'm talking about, the young street musicians that out there and they ain't out there. They went and ministered to them, prayed for them, and ministered long times to them. We got home late one night because a group of young street musicians got saved by being ministered to these young people. Their night, one of their last nights here, one of the things that they did is we thought we were going to do one plan. God changed the plan and had us go, and we were going to go minister to the prostitutes out in New Orleans East, out on Chef. We started our Rose of Sharon ministry. Those of you heard us talking about it. We went out there that night, and there was no one in sight. Not a one was on the street. I think that's pretty cool that nobody was out there on site, because there was nothing happening, and I thought that's cool. And my wife was telling me that she was talking to some folks, and that never happens, that no one is never out on the street, out in that area. So we took these groups of young people and put them down. We went in it, middle of the night, Bourbon Street, took our anointed roses, and the young girls went out to and handed the roses and prayed for the girls that were in the strip club standing in the doorways and doing stuff in the doorways. And to see the group of men standing in the streets praying while these girls were going and handing out these anointed roses that would put scriptures on them. And then they were able to lay hands on these girls and pray over them. I'm telling you, that is powerful. Powerful, powerful stuff. It made me wake up a little bit to think about the things that we do that block us from having a close relationship with God. What do we do to ourselves, and what do we allow in our lives? Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about who He is, what He's doing, and where He brought you from, and how He can use you. And even some of your stuff, your ugly stuff. Ugly, nasty stuff. He can use that for good and help you to help somebody else. these kids that came here, they were all Chi Alpha. So yeah, they're all in college and in an environment where there's God and they're trying to do things. But I'm telling you right now, they've gone back and they're going to be stronger individuals and bolder on their community. Their groups are going to double and triple or quadruple because they now have a boldness, and the scales in so many ways have been removed from their eyes. Drugs, alcoholism, prostitution and pornography, sex trafficking, homelessness. They were in it. In it, and in it hard. But I know you all here at Broad Street understand that and recognize that, because that's who we are as a church. That's who we minister to, and that's who we are, and that's what we're about. I just appreciate you all for that. Continue to pray for these young people. I recorded some of their testimonies. One of the coolest things that I'll share, there was a healing that took place on our house of prayer. It was one of these young people. And let me tell you what happened. This was a young man. He's already disabled. Disabled in his arms, disabled in his leg. He had one leg that was shorter than the other. In fact, he wore a special shoe that had a lift on it. He comes out of the healing room. He stands in front of me, and he's like, he doesn't have any shoes on. And he's like, I'm like, what? He goes, look. And I go, what? He goes, look, I'm standing. Both of my legs are the same size. This boy was healed. They said this school and all of his group, they've been praying over this for so long. They went out and bought that boy brand new shoes at Walmart that night. He left here walking out of here in his size. He walked up and down this aisle. He said he felt something in his hip shift and move. Power. Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you passionate? Thank you, Lord. Wow. Some of those testimonies, they recorded for me. I haven't seen them yet, but I'm going to put them together and play them for you all to encourage you what these young people can do. They're hungry. We're the example setters. We set the example of how they're supposed to be. We have to be so very careful. So very careful. Is good. Thank you, God, for just being with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just showing us who you are, God, and revealing yourselves to us, Lord. Continue to do so each and every day, Lord. Show yourself to us, Lord. Sometimes when we get caught up in our just old ways, God, we just love you so much, Lord. We just want to serve you, God. Prepare us, God, for what you have in store for us today. We just want to do your will, your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Quick note, if you are here visiting today, we forgot to do this. Please fill this out and let us know that you're here. We want to communicate with you and share with you. And God bless you if you're here today. We just want to welcome you. You want to let people know what's going on? It's up to you. Yeah, you should. You need to let folks know. We got, you know, Sister Aurora here from Uganda. She needs to come and share us what's going on. So, yeah, let's welcome her. Amen.
Oh, praise God. It's good to see you again. Some of you are new. I don't recognize. But as Pastor said, I'm from Uganda. I'm a missionary in Uganda. Have been there for 11 years.
Amen.
Single woman, but full of the Holy Spirit, and God is doing awesome, awesome, awesome things there. I'm just honored and humbled that he would allow me to be part of what he's doing there. as he said, that some of our messes we can use for his glory, because when he changes us, we know that it's real. We know that God can change people, and we have something good to talk about because he's been good to us. When I got saved, I was a mess. I thought I was all right, but until the light of God came into me, then I knew how much of a mess I was. And I have life, and I have life inside of me. And I know that wherever I go, the life of God goes with me. So we have this just this past year. We're still continuing with the school project. I believe we will finish it in July. We welcome you to come and for our grand opening, because I know that it'll be done in July. That's what the Lord has put in my heart. We have in Uganda, you know, we have a lot of witchcraft. We have no doctors. We have no clinics. We have to walk 4 miles just to get water. My little friend Jenna's there. She's been there. She knows. But it is so okay. You know, God will equip you to do whatever he calls you to do. People said, "Oh, Roy, you're not afraid to go to Uganda in the bush and da-da-da-da-da." I hate rats. That one, I have not been delivered from that yet, but I'm still alive. But I still continue. No, not everything is easy, but when you're focused on what the Lord has set for you and your eyes are on him, you can do anything, because we can do the possible, but he does the impossible through us. We have seen healings of people that were crippled for 15, 20 years come back and walk, you know, all gnarled. We have seen the dead come back to life. We have seen people delivered from witchcraft, from bondage, from demons. You know, people say, "Aren't you afraid?" I remember one time, one lady, she came to church, and she was making a ruckus. You know, we have the authority of God in us. We walk with the power of God. The power of who? God himself moves through us. And she tried to disrupt. And all I did was like, "Man, you don't disrupt these services. In the name of Jesus, get out." And it was over. You know, we have authority. We have authority. Walk in that authority. Even in New Orleans, wherever you go, the power of God is with you. So this year, I hope to open up 4 more Bible schools, because I believe in equipping the leaders. We started another one in February. We had some children outreaches. We reached out around Christmas time to over 2,000 children. We have given out literature and training to Bible school teachers for over maybe 10,000 children just last year. Don't tell me you can't do what God tells you to do. I don't agree. I don't accept, because I tell you, if you put yourself in the will of God, he will move you and he will work through you. Depends on what you want him to do through you. I know we have the power of God. The Lord this year gave me 1 Thessalonians 1:5, that our gospel doesn't come just with words, but it comes with power, with the Holy Spirit. Do you want that power working in you and through you? Go for it, because God will never leave you nor forsake you. So, what's going on in Uganda is that more children, more old people, we're reaching out to wherever the Lord leads us. I thank you for your support, and I thank you for your prayers. Please keep praying for me, because sometimes it gets very difficult, but I'm not quitting. I tell them, until God tells me it's time to go, I'm there. So God bless you very much.
Thank you, God. Amen. Am I still on? There we go. Good. Amen. You know, it's always good to find out what God's doing around the world, and especially with folks and family that's connected to us. I mean, I just love that stuff. So it's just, God bless you for doing what you're doing. And, you know, here we understand the heart of a missionary. We truly understand that. All right, turn with me, please, to Psalms 56:4. And I imagine the Bible in the sky. We'll have it up there if you don't have your Bible with you. It says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, and I am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Now, this verse stands out to me because it's all day today already since, you know, Deacon Gatton was opening up the service with his word and Cindy's worship and all the stuff. Everything's been connected. There's a theme already happening here today that ties with this message. And the theme that I'm seeing is I'm hearing multiple things about knowing how to have forgiveness in our hearts, knowing how to keep the things that we do to ourselves to keep us from having a deep relationship with God, or the things that we put on ourselves that we need to be healed and delivered from, that we hold on to. You know, that same verse I looked up in the message has a different translation of it, which I'll share with you. It says, this might speak to you. Take my side, God. Now, what's happening here is this is when David was captured by the Philistines in Gath. And I'll read again. It says, take my side, God. I'm getting kicked around, stomped on every day. Not a day goes by, but somebody beats me up. They make it their duty to beat me up. And when I get really afraid, I come to you in trust. I'm proud to praise God. Fearless now, I trust in God. What can mere mortals do to me? Anybody ever feel like they've been kicked around, beat up, pressed down? Or how about days where you feel like somebody's always coming at you with something? Sometimes we get around people who don't beat us up physically, but they know how to do it emotionally. And sometimes the emotional beating is worse than the physical beating. So what I really want to talk to you about today really is people doing things to people and us doing things to ourselves. See, it's really important that we understand these things because it's all about how we relate to each other and how we relate to other. We bring stuff into that relationship from our past and our own situations. How you communicate with each other, how we act, how we talk, how we react, all comes from things that we bring into that situation or that relationship. And those are the things that I want to talk about today. We've been building up to some stuff and talking about healings all month long, praying for people all month long for healings. We talked about how healings have taken place all month long. But now, the attention now I'm going to shift. I believe God, as today what's been going on, wants to shift the focus not so much externally but internally. So here's the thing. If our Christian relationships are formed around a common belief in the things of Christ, then no matter what happens in your life, no matter the circumstance, as long as that common bond is still present, those relationships will last well with that Christ connection. It's one thing that I do notice that all good relationships, whether it be at church, at job, at home, wherever they are, they start with Christ at the center. But it all looks different for all of us. Here's the thing. Sometimes we have things that allow us or block us from having that deep, intimate relationship that he wants to have with each and every one of us. We do things to ourselves that cause us to not step into where he wants us to be. Then we tell ourselves sometimes that maybe we're not worthy enough, or we're not good enough to have the kind of relationship that he wants to have with us. Many of us allow other areas of our lives to affect how we relate and act or communicate. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why do we allow our current or our past personal baggage that we brought to the church, that we brought to the job, that we brought to our marriage, get in the way? Why do we do that? In fact, in many cases, it gets in the way of other situations as well, family and friends. And some of us are doing things to ourselves or doing things out of normal practice, and we don't even know that we're doing it. We get accustomed to wallowing in our own stuff. We get used to it. It becomes a way of life. We get accustomed to negative talk or complaining about things regularly, not trying to do anything to change you. It's always somebody else. I'm this way because X, Y, and Z. This thing is happening to me because of that situation. I did this because of that. We justify stuff. Push it out and don't say, hey, God, what am I doing in this situation that I need to change or fix? What about me that I need to take care of? Here's the thing. Many of us are harboring baggage or change or generational curses. And I'm telling you, those things need to be broke off, stripped away, thrown away, and removed. And you talk about generational curses. What are those things? You see, you don't hear a lot of people talking about those things. Here's an example. One example that I will share, which I think is a pretty deep, strong example of a generational curse. Joyce Myers gives an example of a generational curse in her family. I was reading something from her, and I said, you know what, this is a great example. It's just one, and it's hers, but I'm going to share with you what she says. Many of you know her story. Joyce has been through some stuff. And she says, I told you that there was a spirit of incest in my family bloodline. My father's family came from, well, they were like back hills people, if that causes you to understand anything. There's a lot of situations with people like that where they just don't seem to know how to behave or how to act. My father, he said, what I did to Joyce was commonplace in my family. And then she goes on and says, well, you see, my father's grandfather had a problem. And so his father had a problem. So my dad had problems. So I had problems. And so if I wouldn't have had and stood and believed in Jesus, my kids would have had a problem. And their kids then would have had problems. And so on and so on and so on. Now, we need to learn how to stand and believe in the promises of Jesus to break off some of those chains and those generational curses. See, when things are going good, we don't think about how we're relating to God or to others. We just go about doing our thing. But the thing is when things are not so good, the real question is where do you go to get your help from? Where do you go to get the support that you need? Who is it that's in your life that's speaking to you at your lowest point? See, in order for us to move forward, sometimes we have to fix some things of the past. Otherwise, we get caught up in this thing like a spin cycle. We just go through life circling and circling and spinning, doing the same things that we've always done and just thinking that we're okay. We all want to be at a place where there's joy and peace in our lives. But many of us have been putting Band-Aids on when we need spiritual healing. You can't use a Band-Aid on something that you need a spiritual healing for. It's not going to work. You have to take that to God and learn how to remove these things out of you and from your life. Jesus said, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So if we want joy in our lives, we need to follow his word and his teaching. We need to take things to the Father. See, but many of us can't leave the past the past. Why can we not leave the past the past? Oh, no. We want to hold on to our stuff. We want to carry those bags. We want to hold on to this. Because why? They're mine. It's my stuff. It's my thing. It's my situation. I'm going to hold on to it. That's why I don't tell you about it. Because it's mine. Ever try to, it's hard for people to give away stuff that they have or that they own. Think about it. Somebody walked up to your house and said, hey, that's a really nice couch. Can I have it? No, you can't have my couch. Hey, how about this? That's a really nice car. Can I have your car? No, you can't have my car. Maybe if somebody walked up and said, that's a really nice shirt. Can I have that shirt? You might give away that shirt. Even if it's your favorite shirt, you might give that one away. We hold on to our stuff. Don't want to give away none. It's ours. We hold on to and claim this stuff. I'm reminded of the story, and it just keeps playing in my mind, of the young girl, the 22. That got saved with these young people. And when they were approached her, she was holding on to so much stuff. She was filled with guilt and whatever else that was there. She didn't want to hear about God. She didn't want to hear about anything. And in fact, she told them, I don't want to hear about your God. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't care. There's nothing going on. You know, this is not for me. I don't want nothing to do with them, with God or you. I mean, she was pretty blunt about it. And then she accepted Christ later, which is cool, though. But you could tell that when people are holding on to their stuff and clinging to it, they get protective about stuff. Why? I don't understand that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. All things become new. If Christ is in us and we are new creations, when we hold on to our old stuff, in short, we are saying we really don't trust God to handle our issues or our situation. When you're not trusting God, we are then trusting ourselves. And then many times it leads to other problems and sometimes to sin. See, then if that happens, when you start trusting yourselves, then our personal life disappointments, we start making excuses for sin. Our own justifications come into place to say and do or act in the ways that we know are not pleasing to God. We are then directed to live by the Spirit and put off the acts of sinful nature and seek the fruit of the Spirit. We don't do that. Galatians 5:19-26, it says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Sounds like Bourbon Street to me. Sounds like New Orleans to me. I warn you, as it says, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. We don't have to carry the loads or the burdens or the baggage that we have been carrying for so long. You don't have to do this anymore. You can break those chains and break that baggage from your lives. Here's the thing. Just an idea. Maybe, just maybe, we start off doing that, starting off with a little prayer and some forgiveness. You hear about that all the time. Forgiveness, it starts with the forgiveness in our heart. Prayer and forgiveness can help you leave your old stuff that's weighing you down. It's a great place to start. But let's look inward. Here are a few steps. I'm going to give you four steps to help you with looking inward, starting with you. First, start with asking God to forgive you. Start there. What a great place to start. God, I'm in some stuff. I'm doing some stuff. I'm a part of some stuff. I'm thinking about some stuff. I'm acting about some stuff. I'm in a situation, God. I need to change and get this stuff out of me. Forgive me, God, because I'm not acting in a way that is pleasing to you or giving you honor or giving you glory. I just need to get this out of me. Would you forgive me? Psalms 103:8-12 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are both on the earth, so great is the love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us." So God has done his part. Now you do yours. Number two, after you ask him to forgive you, how about then you let go of the stuff you're asking to be forgiven from? Let it go. Don't hold on to stuff. Really forgive yourself. The greatest comfort in the world can be found in God's promises to forgive all of our sins, no matter how bad they are. No matter what you have done. If we confess our sins to God and repent, he will forgive you. Mark 3:28 says, "Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter." If you, like me, sometimes slip and have diarrhea of the mouth and say the wrong things, that verse may speak to you. Here's the key, though. Don't keep sinning. If you're going to let something go and truly let it go, if he's going to forgive you for, don't go back and take the same garbage back and redo it. Just like Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, "Look, go and sin no more. I don't hold this stuff against you any longer. Go, you're good. I'm good, you're good, we're good. Move forward. Don't look back." But what do? We forget about that. We look back all the time. We look back, and sometimes we move back. Why do we do this? People, So now we look inward. Number three, we look outward. How about asking God then to help you forgive others? Oh, ask God to forgive me. I could start there. Then I need to, once I have him forgive me, I need to really let things go and not let them bother me anymore. And then for those things that I'm letting go, maybe, just maybe, I should now ask God to help me learn how to forgive those, especially those who did some stuff against me, who beat me up or kicked me down or who've been just messing with me since forever. 2 Corinthians 2, 7 through 8 talks about Paul telling us that we must forgive and restore one who has sinned against us. Forgive and restore. And I underline those two words, forgive and restore. How many of us have tried to restore somebody that did something against us? I mean, some people gone out and just said, you did this thing. And recently, there was a man, we were watching the news the other day, and there was a man that was in Angola for 30 years for a crime he didn't do. On death row. Spent 18 years on death row, waiting to have his life ended for something that he knew he didn't do. His wife, a praying woman, believed in his innocence all the way through, stood by his side. That's an amazing woman. Powerful woman to have your husband be in jail for something that he didn't do for 30 years. He missed out on raising his children. He missed out on family, on life. 30 years of his life gone. This man comes out, and he's not bitter. No bitter root in him anywhere. In fact, he's, because of his faith in God, it helped keep him going. And he was willing to accept whatever man was going to do to him because he knew the truth. That's pretty powerful. He comes out, and you think he's the one that has to be restored. But his actions and his behavior actually restored the people who did this to him. Number four, while you still can, try to make things right. Try to right some of your past wrongs. See, whenever we forgive someone that comes against you, whenever someone that has hurt you, made you angry, stepped on you, caused you to be bitter in some way, whenever you forgive, you get to outwit Satan. It's like a slap in the face because he wants you to stay in that spin cycle. 2 Corinthians 2:10-11, it says, if you forgive anyone as I also forgive him, and when I have forgiven, if there is anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. For we are not aware of his schemes. Don't allow past or current wounds in your life to affect how you are supposed to be with others, towards others, or what we're supposed to be doing for the kingdom. Let no bitter root grow. Hebrews 12:15 says, See to it that no one misses the grace of God. We sang about God's grace. No one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Bitter root growing in your life does nothing but cause trouble. See, here's the thing. You might have wounds that are stemming from areas of your life that may be keeping you from the relationship that God wants you to have with directly with Him. See, and He wants to heal those wounds. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be healed. He wants to break those chains, and He wants to set you free. Let's today remove some of those things, break those barriers that are keeping you from having that relationship with Him, keeping you from the desire that He wants to have, that one-on-one. We do this stuff to ourselves. What are some of those barriers that I'm talking about? We worked on with these young people ministering in these barriers. What are these barriers? Well, how about drugs? 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." How about a barrier of alcohol? Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." There it is. Drugs and alcohol. How about a barrier of divorce? 1 Corinthians 7:10-11 says, "To the married I give this charge, not I but the Lord. The wife should not separate from her husband, but if she does, she should remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And the husband should not divorce his wife." I love the word "to be reconciled." So many marriages get in trouble and they don't know what to do and how to reconcile. You got to go to God's word and understand and let Him do it and not allow us to. We try to do things ourselves and it gets us in trouble. Barrier. Divorce is a barrier. How about another barrier from things that we may be holding on to? Bad or abusive relationships, either being emotional, physical, or sexual. Colossians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." And Philippians 1:6, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus returns." Barriers, bad, abusive relationships. Another barrier, things that we dealt with this week, as many of these already are. Pornography. Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And 1 Corinthians 6:18-20 says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin in a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought by a price, so glorify God in your body." Psalms 119:37, "Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things." Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Wow. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So no matter what the temptation is, he will provide an exit. But you better be ready to look for the exit. Some of us don't see the exit because we're not looking for it. You know you're in the middle of something that you shouldn't be, and then God says, "Look, there's your way out. Take it." Sometimes we don't walk towards that exit. Pornography. Huge barrier. And not just with men, it's with women too. How about the barrier of the inability to trust? Psalms 18:2. "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer and my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my tower." Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding." We lean too much on our own understandings, our own thoughts, our own ways. It's our own stinking thinking that's getting in the way of stuff. And we're not relying on God and trusting on him. We're relying on people. We're relying on a counselor. We're relying on this people. You're relying on a pastor. Stop it. Because if you come to me, I'm going to tell you, you better open your book and rely on God. That's really all I got for you. I can help you navigate some stuff, but I can't fix your issue. Only he can. Inability to trust others. Huge barrier. How about withholding love? Some people withhold love in order to punish or to punish others. Or maybe it was done to you. 1 Corinthians 7:1-5 says, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her own conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have the authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have the authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer. But then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Withholding love to punish. How about another barrier? Judgment or being opinionated. Y'all don't know anybody like that, right? Matthew 7:1-5. "Judge not that you be not judged. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you." Why do you see the speck that is in your own, that your brother's eyes, but not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when there's a log in your own? You hypocrite. Strong word in the word. First take the log out of your own eye, And then you'll be able to see more clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. This is inward stuff. This is all about you. Having judgment or being opinionated, that's a barrier to being close to God. How about family pain or parental pain? Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Forgive. Forgiving family, Mom. That's what Joyce Myers was talking about, how she had to forgive. It's accept the word and accept Jesus and then start a path of forgiveness, asking God to forgive her for her stuff and then asking to forgive others that did stuff against her. Barriers and blockages, stuff we hold on to. Past family pain. How about bitterness? Harboring bitterness. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Anybody holding on to bitterness? Barrier that needs to be broken. Anger. Psalms 37:8. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has hasty temper exalts folly. James 1:20. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Anger. Anybody hold on to anger? Oh, yes. Pride. We could spend all day on that one. All day on that one. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and the haughty spirit before the fall. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. Pride will get you caught up and get you on the wrong side of the Lord. And he will find a way to make sure you get on his right side. Pride. Anybody holding on to pride? The hard part about pride is nobody wants to admit it. That's because they're too proud. Right, exactly. You know, I don't have no pride issues now. No. How about other barriers like money stress? Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Can you be content with what you have and where you are? 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money and have wandered from their faith and have pierced themselves with many griefs. When you start chasing that dollar, you are chasing the wrong stuff. It will take you down a path that will make you grieved and unhappy. barrier. Money, stress. How about revenge? Oh, no, no, no. We don't. We're Christians. We don't have revenge. We don't ever think about revenge. We don't have revenge in our heart. We don't want to get even with anybody that's done anything to us. Never. No. Romans 12, 17 through 21 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry. I love this part. I love it because this is a restoring part. This is building somebody up that's done something to you. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Revenge. Anybody holding on to revenge? Oh, yes. Another barrier. Jealousy. 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, you are still worldly. And I just highlighted that and bolded that because the word starts off, you are still worldly. You almost don't even have to say anything else. That's your issue right there. That's your problem. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? You are still worldly. Scary thing. Lord, help us. Jealousy. Barrier. Selfishness. Philippians 2:4. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. And 1 John 3:17 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? How can the love of God be in that person? Holding on to our stuff. Selfishness. My last one, big one, rejection. John 15:18 says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And Psalms 34:17-20, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears them and he delivers them from all their troubles. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all of his bones, and not one of them will be broken. Not one of them. The Lord restores. The Lord delivers. The Lord keeps and is close to those who are brokenhearted. Rejection. Anybody holding on to rejection in their lives? My Lord. Here's the thing. Rejection is so huge that there are characteristics that we can understand and see when a person has been rejected. Rejection, people get rejected everywhere they are. They get rejected in the church. They get rejected in the community. They get rejected by family members, by a spouse, by... Rejection is a huge barrier that people hold on to. Here's some of those characteristics when people are rejected. They have a critical spirit then of others, as well of themselves. They have difficulty loving others. They have difficulty experiencing feelings of feeling okay with themselves. In fact, they have more of a feeling of inferiority. Those who are rejected tend to be overly attentive to material things. They tend to be prone to perfectionism. Big one. They dwell or frequently return to a place of anger or bitterness. They tend to display an attitude of, I'm okay. Typically, these folks who are rejected are also the same folks who are easily hurt or offended. And they question or are suspicious of friendly gestures. They can't accept good for good. They look at something or somebody doing good and they think, I don't believe that that's being good. I don't believe that that is right. I don't believe that you are this way. This has to be something wrong with this or you. It can't be because you just are doing it to be good. They like or live in self-isolation. People are rejected. They do this. They prefer being alone or non-social. A lot of folks who have a history of rejection often feel or regularly return to a place of being depressed or angry. At many times, you'll hear them talk about how they feel cheated out of life or out of their own expectations. These things rob us from having a relationship with God. And He wants the best for us and the best for our lives. But some of these things have caused us to do what? Caused us to drink, do drugs, seek a divorce, fall in sexual morality, because our desire is to feel respected. We lose that respect. We lose our minds. Why do we have such poor opinions of ourselves? You are a child of God. Yes, you're princes and princesses and kings and queens. You should be floating on a cloud. Why do we have such low opinions of ourselves? Even if we have a physical defect, emotional hurts, or a hurtful child experience, thankfully, as believers, God gives us a sense of belonging, of worthiness, and competence. We need to learn to believe in the truth about God's love and rest in the peace of His presence. God allows difficulties in our lives to help us conform to the image of Jesus. Pain sometimes is the tool that brings us to a place of ungodliness and brings that ungodliness to the surface. He uses your stuff and brings it up here so it can be used for His good. God also uses it to sift and to shape and to prune us. The building of a Christ-like character inside each and every one. And it starts at salvation. Romans 8:28 says, we must believe that in all things God works for the good for those who love Him. Remind yourself to trust God and to surrender your troubles to Him. How are we to respond and remove these things that are weighing us down? You have to be taught how to do this. How do we remove this stuff away from us? There is a process. There are things that you can do. And there's not just one way to do it. It is a process. But you have to be taught how to get this stuff out and leave it and let it go. It's an internal thing for an eternal thing. I'm going to give you some points. Because sometimes when we are dealing with the old you, you need a new point of view for the new you of who you are in Christ. It's time for a new view if you're still struggling with the old you. Number one, trust that God is working everything in your life for your good. Start there. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good and for those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. It's Romans 8:28. Number two, believe that your heavenly Father is in control of everything. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his sovereignty rules over all. Psalms 103:19. Except, number three, except that the Lord's ways are higher than your own. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways, declares the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. Number four, refuse to make quick judgments in the midst of a crisis. Thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Isaiah 30:15. Number five, focused on the Father instead of the crisis that you're in. Oh God, we are powerless before this great multitude who is coming against us, nor do we not know what to do, but our eyes are fixed on you. 2 Chronicles 20:12. Number six, avoid dwelling on the pain or the pain of the situation. Oh, we like to dwell on the pain. Why are you in despair, oh my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Psalms 42:5. Number seven, recall past crises of the opportunities that followed. They confronted me in the day of the calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. 2 Samuel 22:19-20. Number eight, let go of your anger immediately, like now. Be angry and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil any opportunity. Ephesians 4:26-27. Number nine, submit yourself to God's will. Submit yourself. Submit yourself to God's will. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Not you. He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Number 10, demonstrate a spirit of gratitude. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Number 11, determine to view this trial as a chance to see God at work. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Lamentations 3:25-26. Refuse, number 12, refuse to listen to unscriptural interpretation of your situation. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The wicked have laid a snare before me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. Psalms 19:105-110. Worship team, come on up. Number 13, remain in constant prayer, listening for the Father's instruction. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in an attitude of thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. Number 14, do not give in to your ever-changing or fluctuating emotions. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:26. And the last one, number 15. Obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will do it. Again, not you. He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Psalms 37:5-7.